Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Because we're going to turn first to the sentencing of Aaron Brady. We're going to hear elements of the Aaron Brady investigation previously unheard. He was today, as you know, sentenced following his conviction for the capital murder of Agartha detective Adrian Donoghue. The South Armagh man spent 4 years hiding out in New York in an attempt to evade justice. But little did Brady know that during those 4 years he was tracked down and put under surveillance by specialist officers. Barry Cummins, Primetime security correspondent, has been speaking to these undercover officers and joins me now in studio. Thanks for coming in, Barry.
Thanks, Cormac.
Aaron Brady fled Ireland just months after he murdered Detective Gorda Adrian Donoghue, having travelled to New York on a tourist visa. Where did he settle down initially, Barry?
He settled down in Woodlawn. It's a community in New York steeped in Irish culture. He initially had travelled on a tourist visa, so he had 90 days to visit the United States and enjoy the US, but he never came home after that. He decided to make New York his home and to hide away from Irish authorities. So that's where he was. Now, he was using his own name, and he became involved very much in elements of the Irish community there, including the GAA in New York. And that, when I spoke to the undercover officers, they told me that was one of the main leads that the Gardaí told them. Two detectives had travelled over from Dundalk. Detectives John O'Reilly and Brian Moan met the NYPD, met the undercover officers, and gave them that a couple of clues, a couple of photographs, and a couple of leads. And that's what the NYPD took that, and they began their surveillance.
We're going to hear a clip now of Detective Jimmy Walsh of the NYPD undercover unit speaking about how they began tracking down Brady. We'll talk to you about this in just a second, but this is previously unheard.
We were able to set up a surveillance and find out where he was actually living. The two addresses the Garda gave us were old addresses that he was no longer staying at. Once we had that in effect, we were able to set up a pattern on him, and we were able to interact with him. And, you know, we seen him on the train. We were able to follow him to several different work locations. He was working construction. So, you know, as construction goes, you know, jobs usually aren't that long. We followed him from, you know, from where he was living in Yonkers into Manhattan. And then he had a job in, I believe, in Yonkers. And then the final job I remember him having was in Queens, was on a large construction site. We also, besides the train and his workplace, several pubs we were able to see him in.
That was Detective Jimmy Walsh of the NYPD saying they set up a pattern on him. He was effectively hiding in plain sight, is that right?
He was. Eventually, he was quite easily picked up and picked out by the undercover officers, where they had this intelligence, quite easy to find out. But that Aaron Brady played for Crossmaglen Rangers as a junior footballer, and he continued his sporting endeavours when he went to New York. And so they tracked him down to Gaelic Park, and it was from there that they were able to confirm his ID and then move on from there and begin. That was quite a, although he didn't know he was being watched, that was quite a simple thing to do, to go to the park, Gaelic Park, bring a camera, pretend you're just a fan and start taking photographs. It then became much more detailed, whereby these guys have been undercover officers for well over 20 years, and they blend, as they described it to me, that they don't look like cops. So they were able to follow Aaron Brady in a way that he never knew they were up close and personal, that they were watching him and sometimes trying to engage him in conversation as well.
And these guys that you mentioned, the undercover cops, they're remarkable characters, really. Jimmy Walsh was an undercover officer, you say, for two decades, 20 years or so. And they were the guys who formed the plan to investigate, is that right?
They did. And what they were trying to do was to figure out who Aaron Brady might be interacting with, where was he living, any of his associates. You heard there that he would visit pubs as well. Who was he interacting with? And part of it as well was that they wanted to get some forensic evidence as well, if possible. And I found that quite interesting that while they were watching him, they were watching everything he was doing as he travelled around. And they attempted, unsuccessfully, because it seems Aaron Brady was quite savvy in terms of forensics, but they were attempting to get something to give a DNA sample.
Yeah, and that's touched on in this clip, I think. We're going to hear from Jimmy Walsh again about how cautious Brady was in his day-to-day behaviour, even down to how he disposed of his water bottles. Have a listen.
The interactions we had with him and we were following him, he seemed to keep things, everything close to the vest. He was cordial, but short when you engaged him in conversation, but never really, from what we saw, went outside his group of friends.
So would members of your unit have been trying to engage him as undercovers, but they'd be trying to engage him in conversation just to get chatting to him somehow?
Yes, exactly. I spoke to him on several occasions. I know there was other people that were far closer to him than I was. And like I said, he was cordial, short. He was on the train. You know, he would fall asleep a lot. He would, whenever he had water with him or, you know, a soft drink, he would take it with him and he would throw it out at home rather than throw it out at the train station, the garbage receptacle.
Not everybody would do that. Did that strike you as interesting?
That definitely struck it as interesting because we were looking to try to get something from him and we weren't able to at that point.
You also spoke, Barry, to Jimmy Walsh's colleague, Eddie Gonzalez, who was an undercover cop with the NYPD for 20 years or so as well. Let's listen to Eddie talking to you about his surveillance of Brady.
That was the day that I was off duty, and Jimmy has already previously told me and sent me photos of Brady. And during that time, he said, just keep an eye, you know. And at that day, and I got there very early in the morning, I started seeing Brady setting up the bouncy balloons, you know, the balloons for kids that they can play in there. And as I kept looking at him, Jimmy informed me prior that, you know, Brady used to works as construction worker or that type of business. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if this might be him, but the pictures really look like it. I took the picture and I sent it to Jimmy, and Jimmy says, yeah, that's him. Keep an eye on him. You know, Jimmy was the lead detective for this. And, you know, he told me, keep an eye on him. Anybody he engaged with, also see what we can do with that. Give us the business that he was running, working for. And of course, I took the name of the business and I just kept monitoring him. In my point of view, seeing him, he was very being conservative. He looked around. He was entertaining what he was doing. He didn't leave the area from there. And I observed approximately about 4 hours, and I notified Jimmy what was transpiring. And then at that time, he just exited the location. Someone else took over the business during that time. But like Jimmy said, he didn't want to drop nothing around, very leery. You know, Jimmy said, just keep a distance. And again, the more intel we gather, the better for Jimmy and his sister in this case.
Part of the intel, I think, if I'm right, that day was, did you manage to take some photographs of Aaron Brady out on the street?
Yes, I did. I took photographs of him setting up the bouncy balloons. I took photographs of the company itself, what, you know, who's the company he worked for. And again, if I would have saw him interacting with someone for a long period of time, that person, I would have took a photo too, but he didn't. He was just working alone.
It's amazing when you think about it, Barry. He was in New York working for children's parties. Now he's been sentenced for the capital murder of a Gorda.
Yeah, I still struggle to get my head around that as well. That he and I've seen the photographs, some of these photographs were published in the Irish Sun in August over 1 or 2 days, and I was looking at them and I was trying to marry that with knowing that by that stage Aaron Brady had just been convicted of the capital murder of Adrian Donoghue. But yeah, when you see these photographs, like any other person on the street that day, but actually that it's quite chilling to think that he was involved in setting up play for children, these bouncy castles and soft play areas. And at that stage, he was a number of years hiding out in plain sight, but hiding out in New York, wanted at that stage for questioning in connection with the murder of Adrian Donoghue.
Yeah, worlds apart. We have another clip from NYPD's Jimmy Walsh. He was at the scene of Brady's arrest in Woodlawn in May 2017.
Yeah, it was around 5:30 in the morning. I was in a car with another individual, I believe, from the Westchester County District Attorney's Office. The feds were in the lead. They mentioned that he might have left his house We were stopped at the stop sign. We were parked on the corner of the stop sign. I looked over. There was a black Audi there, and I saw a face that I was familiar with. It was Aaron Brady. So we put it over the air. We followed him, and he was pulled over. The federal marshals, I believe, took him out of the car, and he was, after a confirmatory ID was done, he was placed under arrest.
Look, it had a big effect on these officers, obviously. They worked on it for a long, long time and in depth as well. As we hear in this clip here, then I might ask you about how it affected them and their thoughts on the family, Barry.
As far as Brady getting convicted, the justice for the family, I don't know, it chokes me up sometimes when I think about it. You know, what happened and how it happened and that one half a second it took for him to pull that trigger. What was he thinking about or he wasn't thinking? And how many lives did he ruin when he did that?
It gives you an insight about how they go about their business, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's very much, when I was talking about Jimmy and Eddie, they spoke about Adrian Donoghue, a man they never met, a man they didn't know, but as one of their own, where cops were helping cops and many police forces across the world, from the PSNI right across to Australia and then over to the United States, Homeland Security, we've heard from before, and now the NYPD, all involved in this case. And while the Aaron Brady aspect is now complete in terms of the investigation and the sentencing, two of the other suspects from Lordship that night, the five-man gang, two other people are living in the United States now who are wanted for questioning in relation to this. Two other people are much closer to home. They're on the island of Ireland. But I suppose listening to Jimmy and Eddie, very interesting in terms of their work. There may be other Jimmys and Eddies who are involved in other type work in relation to those other suspects who are across the Atlantic.
Well, it gives us a fascinating insight into the investigation, as I say. There's a programme on the Aaron Brady investigation on primetime tomorrow. Isn't that right, Barry?
There is.
At 9:35 p.m. Barry Cummins, thank you very much indeed.